And last week, Tina and Rebecca and her sister Mary drove to Providence, Rhode Island to drop Jeremiah off with the big boys. They started football practice. And, you know, it's kind of cute. Up until the time he went, he was telling me, he said, Papa, he said, I'm playing this year. I said, you think you're going to play? He goes, yeah. He said, I got this. I'm going to play. First day after practice, he calls his mom and texts home, and he said, I'll be a backup this year. So a freshman coming into these big... He's watching? Jeremiah, I'm telling on you, man. How about that? But you know what? He understands something, that when you come into an arena on that level, there are imaginations that are much bigger than what you've ever dreamed and what you ever thought. And all of a sudden, you get to go grow into that. And so maybe you're feeling that here today as well, that, wow, you got to this level and you think there's no way. But you know what? God put you there for a reason, because you're about to grow in to a greater imagination or a dream. That's why we got to keep dreaming big, right? Amen. So look at somebody next to you and say, look, don't get nervous. Just keep dreaming big. Don't get nervous. Just keep dreaming big. Amen. Just keep dreaming big. Gosh, it's great to see all of you. Hallelujah. I love seeing the church like this. I do. Awesome. I don't like seeing the church in a hospital or in a funeral home or, you know, I love seeing you like this. This is just great. It's a great, great moment. I think we have an upcoming Summer Kingdom event, don't we, on Wednesday? Are we having a cookout in the, no? Thursday's Lorraine. And then the following Wednesday, we're going to have like a cookout in the parking lot, right? So you bring your hamburger and a hot dog, and we're going to have a great time to hang out together. So keep that in mind. Hey, get your Bible out. Come on, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. How many can remember as a child, while you're finding that scripture, you had a cookie in your hand and you're walking through the house and you drop it? How many know you never picked that cookie up and threw it away? Now, as adults, you may have dropped the cookie and then discarded it, right? But as a kid, you drop that cookie and you pick it up and you don't even do this. You just eat it. You know, God looks at us like cookies. And sometimes we get way too serious about our life. We think just because we hit the dirt, we hit the ground, we fell, that God the Father is going to pick us up and throw us in the garbage can. He's just like that little kid. He'll pick you up off the floor. He won't even you off. And he'll just take you right back into his presence and into his life. So if you're here today and you're feeling as though you've fallen out of the hand of God, out of the hand of the Father, be encouraged, because he's got two hands. And he's about to pick you up with the other one. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you always. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon. I don't know why I said that, but maybe the Holy Spirit wanted me to say it for somebody. But Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, I want you to read this with me. Let's read it together. Ready? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. One more time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you to hold that thought for a minute. About 10 years ago, I think it was almost to the day, we were about to have our camp meeting. Now, we did camp meetings for 13 years. Our first camp meeting speaker ever was Bishop T.D. Jakes. It was a crazy night when we dedicated our new sanctuary in the West. We had over 3,000 people there. People were fighting for seats. I mean, literally fighting for seats. But this was one of the last camp meetings that we conducted. And how many remember the blackout that we experienced 10 years ago? It was all through the Northeast, from New York all the way down to Ohio. John Bevere was supposed to be our guest speaker. And obviously, he couldn't get there because there was no electricity. He couldn't fly his plane because there were no radar to be able to control, or flight towers to be able to communicate. As a matter of fact, our sanctuary has no windows. So in the West, when it's dark out and in, you can't see. But it was funny because we were all gathered outside the church and people kept saying, well, Pastor, we can go in there and have church. God will be our light. His glory will shine. I said, look, sweetheart, I believe and I thank God for your faith, but it's dark in there and I am not going in there for church. There is no power. There's no power. So then, you know, John Bevere calls and lets us know that he's not going to be able to make it and all of those kind of things. And he was grounded. And it's funny, you know, people couldn't buy gas. There's people that had come to that camp meeting that were already there. And it was interesting. They said, "Pastor, do you have any extra gas here?" I said, "Why?" "Well, I drove here from such and such a city, and we just made it. We thought we'd get gas after service. And you can't buy gas because there's no electricity." Now, isn't that amazing? You have a pump, but you can't get no power. You have a pump, but you can't get any power. Another person said, "Can I borrow $50? I was going to go to the bank, but I can't go to the ATM machine because there's no electricity to cause the ATM to give what I'm requesting." And it was an amazing wake-up call for all of us, wasn't it? And all of a sudden, we found ourselves no computers. We were without money. We were without gas. We couldn't communicate. We couldn't go to the store. Stores were shut down. Couldn't have service. Couldn't have church. That's all because of the power disconnect. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And I want you, with that little story in mind, to read this with me again. Because this scripture, Paul is telling them, in the battle of our lives, we've got to remember something. Okay, let's try it again. Ready? "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You see, the might belongs to Christ. And I want you to get that in your spirit. The might belongs to Christ. But you and I access his might by faith. So when I come to God by faith, I'm able to access his might. And it's transferred into me in my life with strength. Strength to overcome. Strength to stand. Strength to get the victory no matter what I'm experiencing. Now I have in my hand, some of you in the back may not be able to see this real clearly, it's a circuit breaker. Now I know very little about electricity, but I do know this, that when these trip, I don't have any power. But therefore, a precautionary measure. I found out that circuit breakers are to disconnect the flow of electricity until the problem can be located and corrected. So they're actually a good thing. So when the circuit breaker trips, there was either a power surge of some kind that is now protecting the house from maybe catching fire or your appliances from burning out or your computer surge or whatever it might be, and it flips the switch. Now, in order to reconnect, you have to go down to the location of where the breakers have been installed and flip the switch back over and allow the current to flow through. Now, sometimes as Christians, we experience spiritual blackouts. And the interesting thing about a spiritual blackout is much like a natural blackout. For example, these fans that are spinning up on the ceiling have been designed and engineered for them to do exactly what they're doing now at variable speeds. However, if you disconnect the power from that load, it will not function according to its design and will not accomplish its architectural design or its engineering design or for the purpose for which it was created. It'll look like a fan, but it won't act like a fan. And so many times in our lives as Christians, we experience spiritual blackouts. And even though we were designed to reign, even though God created us to rule, to have dominance on the earth, even though you and I were designed to run with perfection, when there is a circuit breaker out, we will have the design, but we won't have the functionality. We won't have the power source flowing into us in order to accomplish the vision of the Creator. But I want you to know, too, many times these breakers aren't tripped by you and me. Many times it's not because of fear or doubt that trips the breaker. Often God Himself trips the breaker. And I believe the Holy Spirit at times will trip the circuit breaker in our lives and we experience a spiritual blackout and we think, "God, what's going on? God, where are you? God, I don't hear your voice anymore." You know the number one prayer request that I get out of everything? It's not for pray for my family or pray for my marriage or pray for my healing. Most often I get people to say, "Pastor, pray, I'm in a dry season right now. I just don't feel God. I don't know what it is, but I'm just kind of losing my oomph. I don't have my desire there, and I just need prayer. It's an interesting prayer request, isn't it? And oftentimes we think, where's God? But the facts are, God might have tripped your circuit breaker. You know why? Because he sees there's a problem. And until there's a loss of that power, you won't take the time to go check it out and fix what potentially could hurt you. So in times when I'm sensing a disconnection, the first thing I want to do is I want to begin to take an inventory. I'll say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I need you to reconnect me to the source so that when I flip the switch, it won't hurt me. When I flip the switch, I won't misuse the power, or I won't cause damage to that which you've already designed and destined me to become. So oftentimes we experience these spiritual blackouts, but our circuit breakers have been tripped oftentimes by the world. And because we get involved in the things of this world, it's not necessarily God that tripped them, but it's because we have worldliness that comes into our life and trips the breaker or the connection of God. Or we begin to fear the future or doubt that God will ever do anything in our life again. And suddenly the breakers are tripped. Now, if I were to ask how many people in here today know where the circuit breaker box is in this church for these lights, how many of you can raise your hand? Okay, there's a few of you that know. How many would understand that in order to trip the breaker, you've got to know where they're at? You've got to know where the source of that breaker is. You know, oftentimes when that happens, there's a secret to it. You've got to go to the source. And there have been times in my life when we've been in different places. We've rented homes, and I've go down to the basement. And this last house we were in was kind of scary because it was an old home and a low ceiling. And there was a breaker box there. And there was an old abandoned one that had the little glass screw-in things. I forget what you call those. And And then I thought, well, I better not touch that. That's abandoned. That's not good. And I'm trying to figure out how to trip the breaker. And it's interesting, I don't know which breaker is which. So I just start click, 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 click. Have you ever done that? You just go right down the line and you figure eventually I'm going to get the right one. But when you do that, you knock out the refrigerator, you knock out the computer, the TV's rebooting, and your wife starts crying out, "What are you doing down there?" As I'm trying to reconnect the power. Or oftentimes I'll do this, I'll flip a switch and I'll say, "Is it on yet?" "No." "Okay. Is it on yet?" "No." And you go down all the line. You know, the bad thing about that is when you get through all of them and you still don't have any power. You think, well, okay, there's got to be another source. In this last house we were in, there's a small little box. I don't know why they did it. The owner was an electrician. I guess he could do whatever he wants. But he put in a secondary box off to the side that I didn't even notice. And there was the culprit. I finally discovered it, flipped the switch back on, and we were good to go. But in that place is where you only know that it's located. And my prayer today is, Holy Spirit, would you begin putting your finger on where we may have tripped the circuit breaker in our lives? Either from worldly involvement, doubt, fear, or maybe it's a season when God's saying to you, I've got to trip this breaker in order for you to fix some stuff that you don't even know is broke. In other words, I want you to seek me like you've never sought me before. My heart's desire is today that when we walk out of here, all of us will have a new infusion of the open circuitry of God's power flowing through each of our lives. Is that your heart's desire? I believe it is. Jeremiah 32 and 17 reads this way. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too difficult for you. I used to sing that song as a young Christian. It was a great song. How many remember that put to music? Any of you? Rose, a couple of you? All right, some of us old timers. And we used to sing that, nothing's too difficult for thee. Oh, nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. It was great. It was a great song. You know, you think about that song for a minute with me. There is nothing too difficult for God. His power and his outstretched arm. You know, think this way with me as well. There was never and never will be a minute, an hour, a day, a month, a year when God's power will be any less than it is right now. God's power never diminishes. God's power never decreases. So his power is flowing. So if I'm like a lamp trying to illuminate myself and speak to my filament and it won't illuminate, maybe the problem is not the creation. Maybe the problem is the connection. And I need to begin to look at what's not illuminating in my life. It's not necessarily the way God created it. We haven't been created inferior. God didn't save you because you were junk. Come on. God saved you with a destiny and purpose in mind. And what happens is we are told in church that God's power is limited in this day. Or God's power can't flow into your life or into your family. It has to be at the church, or it has to be in some speaker or some evangelist who's got all the power. But how many know we all can have the power of God? Amen? Every one of us can have the power of God. Not even when Jesus died on the cross. Some folks say, well, yeah, but when Jesus died on the cross, he was weak. Oh, be careful. When you think that Jesus was disconnected from the power of God because he died, no man took his life. Did you know that? The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse 11, he told Pilate this. This is a startling statement. He said, you could have no power at all against me unless it's been given you from above. All power, all glory, all honor belongs to God. So I realize that even in times when I'm not sure what's happening around me, that's not a reason to believe that I've been disconnected from the power of God. Maybe I just need to flip the switch. Maybe I just need to take an inventory and see what's happening in my life. Maybe I just need to go back down to the source. You know, the source is interesting. It's a critical component of our homes, but how many of us go down and walk into that room and touch that circuit breaker box and go, hey, circuit breaker box, I just want to tell you how good you are. I want to thank you, circuit box, for bringing my refrigerator work. I want to thank you, circuit box, because you got my air conditioning running all night. It was hot out too, and it's humid. But I just want to bless you. I just want to thank you. How many of us actually ever talk to our circuit breaker boxes? Nobody. And if you said yes, I want to pray for you after the service. The facts are, we don't talk about them. We don't even look for them. The only time we know they're in the house is when we need them. And some of us need to go back to the source of the power of God that's flowing in our life. And we need to reconnect once again, because you and I were not designed. You and I were not created. You and I were not formed in our mother's womb. You and I had not received a book written to us from the foundation of time for us to walk defeated, to walk sick, to walk broke, to walk confused, to walk around wondering. No, no, no. God made us to be what? More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So I think it's a time for a trip down the basement. Some of us need to go back to the basement, and we need to reconnect with the power source in our lives. Because I believe God wants to raise up a generation that is an example of those who believe. A generation of which all creation has been crying out for the sons of God to begin manifesting in this hour. And you and I are that bunch. Amen. You and I are that bunch. Acts chapter 4. I love this scripture. Verse 22. The Bible talks about a man. Think about it with me. And look at the context of this story. This is where Peter and John had gone up to the temple to pray. Remember? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're entering in the gate beautiful. This is in chapter 3. Just hold for 4:22 for a minute. They were going into the gate beautiful. There was a man there for 40 years were lame. No, put the scripture back up. Acts 4:22. And there was it was a man laying there for 40 years. Now, this is essential. I want you to get this. The man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. Now, just keep that scripture there, please. The point being this. This is a man who had sat at the door of the church for how long?
40 years.
That speaks of a generation. Now, I want you to get this. Here is a generation sitting at the door of the church, lame. Here is a generation sitting at the door of the church that was created to spin with a fan in, like a fan in motion. However, there was no connection, and as a result, he stayed in that position, designed to rule and reign, but dominated by infirmity and poverty. Here's the real kicker. The power of God that finally connected to this man did not come from the temple. Are you following me? Every time that door opened, you would have thought that lame man would have been connected to the power of God flowing out of the temple, right? Amen. But he was there 40 years. That told me every time the temple door opened, there might have been a smell of incense. There might have been priests coming and going. There might have been some noise and singing on the inside heard. But the power of God never flowed out of the temple when the doors were open. That's because the power of God wasn't supposed to come from the temple. It was walking up the steps in Peter and John. Please hear this. You and I are blessed to be a part of a generation where the power of God is not going to come from a place. The power of God is not going to come from some celebrity evangelist or prophet or apostle, and you got to get there in order to get some. No, you better hear me, because the power of God is going to come into lives like Peter and John, and when they come to the church house, when they come to those that are in need and begin to walk up the steps, the power of God comes with them. I hope you came to church today not to get something, but to give something. I hope you came to church today to know that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And you are about to be a blessing and release the power of God in a generation. Amen. Amen. You see, this is the shifting of the Spirit. This is the shifting of the generation. I don't have to go to church to get healed. I just got to hang around with the right crowd. Now, let me say this to you. Peter and John used to go to that temple. Peter and John were in that church. It's all right. Peter and John were in that church. But they were called. They were called out of that place. And they were called to follow the Anointed One and His anointing. When they followed the Anointed One and His anointing, they became what they followed. They became that Anointed One and that anointing. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you got to stop following church folk. Stop following church denominations. Stop following liturgy and start following the Anointed One and His anointing. And you will become what you follow. Now, you remember that lame man sitting there. That lame man sitting there was looking for something. Now, we'll get to him in a minute. I wanted to give everybody a tin can this morning with a little pebble in it, but I didn't have the money, time, nor the resources. Because it would have been great if all of us would have held up our tin cans and began to shake them. Because that's what he did. It was a generation that was making some noise. It was a generation that was making some noise about their situation and were looking for something to change their circumstance. Did you know you may not like what young people are doing today? You may not like what this generation is doing and where they're going and how they're living and what they're talking about and the music they're listening to, but you better hear this preacher. It's nothing less and nothing more than a tin can. All they're doing is trying to make some noise. All they're doing is looking for somebody to give them something so that they won't have to hold this position in their life any longer. It's a powerful truth. It's a shifting of generations. Now, he would have never held up his tin can if he had not expected to receive something. So the whole key in this story is expectancy. Let me say this again. The necessity of expectancy. I fully expected, driving around the corner this morning, to get into a traffic jam and have to be escorted out of my car, somebody else park it, so I can walk to the building for all the people that were trying to get here. I'm not just telling you that, I'm believing that. When I pulled in, I fully expected all the cars to be parked down along the other side of the condo units and all the cars around those other trucks and people flooding into the house of God. You know why? Because I believe that there is a shift in the generation and there is an expectancy in my heart that I can't help but believe some investigator from some municipality has a check with my name on it and wants to try to find me for the last 2 years. I believe God's tracking me down for a miracle. I hope you believe that God is tracking you down for a miracle. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? If you don't believe that, you're going to begin believing that because that's where God's taking us. So Peter and John, what did they say? This is like blows me away. Look on us. Hang with us. Because what you think you need, you don't need. Silver and gold have I none. But that which I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus. What 40 years standing at this church wouldn't do. What 40 years you begging wouldn't change. What 40 years of mama and them showing you sympathy wouldn't alter. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And suddenly he stood up and began to walk and leap and began to praise God and went right back into the temple. Hallelujah. Went right back into the church and said, hey, look what God's done for me. He healed me. He changed me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you got to get this attitude out of your thinking of Mary and Martha. You know, Jesus said we got to hang out for a couple more days. I know Lazarus is sick, but I need him dead. Well, he didn't say that, but I put that in there. They waited 4 days. And we know that the rabbis taught a soul will linger for 3. Jesus said we got to wait for 4 when every rabbi in the whole region knows there ain't no possibility of that body reuniting with that soul. That's when I come in. I take impossibilities and make them possible. He shows up on the 4th day. Mary and Martha, what do they say? Lord, had you been here yesterday? Everybody that I know over the last 40 years has been a had you been here yesterday kind of God worshiper. How many know that the Spirit of God and the power of God flows where it is? I know that sounds profound. But in other words, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, had you been here yesterday, Lazarus, your friend, would not have died. And Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday has no bearing on my now. In other words, if you'll just follow me, I'll make you. I'll make you. I'll make cause to sprout in you that which I laid in you. I'll connect you with the power to get you to function according to your divine design. I'm going to produce in you an energy that is going to astound a generation. I mean, some of you are going to have to really get ready because you're going to be laying hands on sick and they're going to get instantly recovered. We'll see dead people raised in this generation. Yes, we will. And it won't be just one or two, and then we're so thankful we have to get them on TBN because nobody believes it. Let me tell you something. It's going to stop getting astounded when it happens. It's going to be just like, see, I told you. In other words, we're going to thank God before we see it with expectancy and thanksgiving. Peter and John said, look on us. In other words, if I can get your focus for a minute, you're about to come out of what you've been stuck in for 40 years. And they had expectancy. But you know what? A lot of us fight God with our circumstance. You know what a circumstance is? It's where you sit down in front of Higbee's or in front of a deli or in front of Playhouse Square and you set up your old violin case and put out your little bucket and you sit in that circle and you ask for alms or you beg somebody to buy you some food because you're homeless. That's circumstance. It's a circle that you stand in. A circumstance is nothing but a circle that you have decided to stay in. Why not draw another circle? Why not draw another circle that says, I've got all my needs met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Why not in that circle put health? Why not put riches? Why not put joy? Why not put peace? Why not put all my needs being met? Why not put everything you need in that circle and get up out of this one? And stand in this one. You know, sometimes you ask people, how you doing? Well, under the circumstances. I'm like, why are you under them? Get out from under them. You see, you and I got to learn the power of our tongue. You can't agree with where you are when it doesn't line up with what God said about you. You say, yeah, but it ain't happening. Well, then go to the basement, find the circuit breaker box, and flip the switch. Because there's something not connecting. There's something not connecting in your life. Because God's word doesn't lie, amen? Now, some of you want to call me to flip your switch. Pastor, flip my switch. I just want you to know I am no flipper. I'm not a hireling. I'm going to tell you what I will do, though. I will light a candle. We got a candle around here anywhere? Al, would you get me one of my candles and light it and bring it in here? I can't flip your switch. I don't even know where your basement is. We're asking people to do what they have no knowledge of. Plus, if I tried to go in your basement, I can risk life and limb trying to get down those steps. Because you have junk all over your steps. And that light bulb you were supposed to change, it's not even burning. And you want me to walk down them steps, risk my life, and flip your switch. Then when I get to the basement and it's pitch black, I got to walk around and trip over boxes and junk and paraphernalia and your old fur coat that grandma gave you. I got to go, you know, them old wigs that you used to wear and put. I'm like, wow, what is all that? And you want me to feel on the wall to find the box. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I can do something. I can light a candle and I can give it to you so you won't stumble over your own stuff. Can I give it to you? Are you okay? I say, here you go. Go flip your own switch. I'll just light a candle. I'll light the candle of God's word, and you take it to the basement. And you go down there, and you say, hey, circuit breaker, I ain't been down here in a long time, but you got my attention. And I know one thing. Life, when you're in the right place, is a good thing. But life, when you're not in the right place, is a bad thing. I can't get no money. I can't get no gas. I can't get no food. I can't get my air conditioning to work. I don't have life the way I've known it. I need to flip my switch. I just want you to know I'm going to re-engage you right now and connect again to the flow of the power that is available to me. Here's the thing. There's a generation that the power of God is made available, but they've been sitting in the dark so long. They're so used to the dark, they don't realize that they have this ability and this power that if somebody would just flip their switch, they begin to live like kings. They begin to live like queens. They begin to live at the head and not the tail. They begin to go over and believe that God can do great things in their life. Man, somebody flip the switch. Now, there's authority in the name of Jesus. Jeremiah 33:3, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. How many know Jeremiah 33:3 without looking it up? Okay, some of you. Jeremiah 33:3, did you know that's God's phone number? 333, that's God's number. How do you know that? Because he said, call to me. And I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. There's some stuff you don't know now that if you'll just call, God's going to give you some things that you don't know now that are about to change your life. In other words, Peter and John said, silver and gold we don't have. In other words, we're living beyond the prosperity message. Oh, that went over like a lead balloon. They were not hungry for finances. Cars, big houses, fur coats, diamond rings, and jet airplanes as a sign and a symbol of their anointing. That went over like a lead balloon too, but that's all right. I'm among friends. It wasn't about how many people knew their name, how many times they've been on national Christian television. It doesn't matter how many invitations they got to camp meetings or didn't. Peter and John said, silver and gold have we none. We came here today knowing we won't need that. But what I have. What I have. What you think you need, I don't have. But what you don't know you need, I'm full of. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And suddenly, he got up out of his condition 40 years. You know what this generation is looking for? They're looking for supernatural. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for the real deal. They're tired of the church phony people that come in and come out with no expectancy, that all they do is to play the social church game. All they know how to do is recite their verses, get their Sunday school badges, get their certificates, walk around with their collars backward, get their robes on, have their entourage follow them, and no see nobody get healed, nobody get delivered, nobody get saved. I mean, they go weeks and weeks and not one person even gets saved in the house of God. And this generation is saying, look, keep your money. Keep your money. I want to know what you have. Do you have the power of God operating in your life? John 11:42. You can't live without expectancy, church. Don't come to this church thinking nothing's going to change. Don't come in here thinking that God won't do a thing. Grandma Rose just talked to you about her 16-year ordeal and how her heart and lungs have been totally healed. Did you expect that? Did you expect this morning or when you came in somebody, you didn't know who they were, but now you know it's Sister Rose, and she gave testimony of what God did, and I don't know who's going to be next, but I'll tell you one thing, there's another testimony on its way. I'm expecting God to save. I'm expecting God to heal. I'm expecting God to deliver. I'm expecting God to get some joy back where the devil stole my joy. I'm expecting to see such a crowd that they got to call the Valley View police out of the donut shop and get them over here to direct the traffic. Flip the switch. Flip the switch. We've been too comfortable living in the dark. That's why they don't want to come to our house. It's creepy. Walk into church, it's like, this is creepy. They're like creepies in here. Zombies in here. Dead people in here. I see dead people. Where do you see it? Every Sunday at my church. Don't look at them right now. But just do a quick zombie check. Dead to sin, but alive to God. Amen? Amen. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins. You and I got to finish. You and I have to have the necessity of expectancy. Why? Because Jesus did. Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, I think it's verse 41. And what does he say? He says, Father, I'm going to pray right now, not because I don't believe you hear me, but for these yo-yos over here that don't believe, so they know that I'm about to do something that you're about to do in me and through me. And he didn't say yo-yo. And I would never use that term either. But what I'm saying to emphasize the point is Jesus fully expected Lazarus to raise, or he would have never made the public prayer. He said, I don't need to do this. I already know this. See, we're coming into a season when we're praying for people, not God, let your will be done. Stop that. Well, it's God's will. Maybe it's God's will they die. Stop that too. It's not God's will. We've got to learn to get our fight. We've got to learn to come into this thing with such expectancy that unless the miracle comes, unless we see the total restoration, unless we see the healing, we're like, God, I don't know. I'm not taking anything less for an answer. I'm going to believe you for this. I'm going all the way with you. I get a call last Friday and I said, Sister Ruth, she's going to be gone Sunday. Can you do the funeral Tuesday? I said, well, I'll try. I mean, I'm trying to do it. It's now Sunday again, and she's still singing praises. I'm like, I don't know. You know, sometimes we respond and we react to false information. Did you see on the news this morning? This doctor whose last name I can't pronounce. I mean, you know, he's a foreign doctor. Very, very reputable, supposedly. You know what he was doing in his cancer research center? He was misdiagnosing people on purpose so he can get the money. Listen, this is the truth. You would come in to see him and he'd say, you've got cancer. And so all of a sudden, they start living in their circumstance. They're in that circumstance and they're like, okay, what do? You need chemotherapy. And I need to put you through treatment. He said, okay, all right, what do? Make this application for Medicaid and you get your insurance company. He built $35 million. Yeah, you did. But that's not even the bad thing. You know, to me, what's the tragedy here? You know what the real disservice is to tell somebody that they have something that they don't have. And what's even worse are those people who have friends, family, and church attendance and membership who will say, well, if the doctor said it, we'll be praying for you. You hear what I'm talking about? Listen, this is a generation where the power of God's not flowing out of the temple doors. The power of God is walking up the steps to the temple. I see the power of God in each one of you. I see the power of God in your hand. I see the power of God in your spirit. I see the power of God in your belly. I see the power of God in your worship. I see the power of God in your agreement. I see the power of God in your testimony. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking about a battle-tested group who have gone through all of that, and we're not turning back. We're going to stand our ground in the miraculous power of God and say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Paul the Apostle at Iconium. I mean, he lived in expectancy. He was preaching one day, they wanted to make him a god. The next day, they stoned him. He was lying dead outside the city. His disciples and men came together, prayed for him. He was raised up out of that place. Read in the Bible. He goes back into the same city that stoned him and starts preaching again. He lived in expectancy. He's the guy that penned these words. I am confident that the God who began a good work in you will also finish it and complete it until the very end. You understand? Paul had an expectancy. He didn't expect to go to Iconium and become a god. He didn't expect to go to Iconium and be stoned. But he expected God to be God in his life, regardless of whether they tried to make him a god or they tried to stone him. He said, as for me and my house, like Joshua, I'm going to serve the Lord. And it was him who penned the words, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. He lived in expectancy. You need to live in expectancy. I need to live in expectancy. We ought to have such a draw on the worship team when they get to the platform. They should not even be able to pick up their instrument. And we're shouting at the top of our lungs, glory be to God! Nobody should invite me to prayer when it's time for intercession and that clock strikes 11:30 and 2 seconds. I'm on my face before God and I'm saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I see lame people. I see them walking. I see the dead being raised. Thank you, Lord. I'm in agreement. Saved, unsaved, they're going to be delivered. I thank you today, God, that this is the house of the Lord and you're about to do great and mighty things. Expectancy. So expectant that God's going to do miraculous things in our lives. I'm expecting it, man. I'm expecting it. I can't hardly wait till we have to call the state highway patrol. I can't hardly wait until not only the roads down the valley are backed up, but on 480's backed up. Now we get the state involved. Yeah, I want to see such a traffic jam, they got to call the FBI and wonder, no, what is going on down in the valley? I'm serious. I want to see such a commotion and such a fire and such a stirring in this region that people can't hardly stand to stay away. One last verse. Got time for one more? I keep you guys long, man. You are like endurance tough. You're tested. You're like Duracell. Not the bunny. The bunny is the other one, isn't it? Anyway, you just keep on ticking and take a licking. What is that one? I don't know. Yeah, okay, Energizer Bunny, yeah. One last scripture, all right, you ready? Hebrews 11:6 is in the Message Bible. Can you put it on the screen, please? The Bible simply says in Hebrews 11:6 in the Message, it is impossible to please God from faith. And why? Now look at this. Anyone who wants to approach God must believe that he exists. Say that with me. I believe that God exists. Nobody had a problem with that one. Say it with me again. I believe that God exists. Okay, so apart from faith, we can't please God. And why? He said, because anyone who wants to approach God has to, number one, do what? Believe that he exists. But notice this, and this is where a lot of us have trouble. And cares enough to respond. I believe that he exists, but I'm not sure he cares enough to respond. But let me assure you today that God so loved the world. God so cares for your hurt, your disappointment, your bruising. And He cares enough, watch this, to respond. To respond. I don't think you got that, because you see, I believe He exists, but I've got to get over the fact that He cares enough. And that He will respond to me when I feel as though I'm not worthy to be responded to by God because of how I've lived, what I've said, what I've done to others. And He cares enough to respond. Here's the qualifier. Are you ready? To those who have a Bible college degree, who know all the books of the Bible, who've been to church for 40 years. No. Who seek Him? And if you'll seek Him today, God will respond to you. Because I know you already believe He exists, or you wouldn't be here. The old songwriter said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And some of us, you know, we think we have to have this euphoric experience with God to make it the Spirit of God. And I was listening to Andre Crouch the other day on TBN. I don't watch TBN much, but I watched it today. And Leon, you'll probably like this story. Maybe you've heard it. Andre Crouch was a 16-year-old teenage kid and his twin sister. They had gone to this backyard barbecue. And there were all these greats back there. All these singers that you would know their names, like Shirley Caesar and I'm trying to think of the other dudes that he mentioned, but all these big names, R-E-S-P-C-T, whatever her name was. Is that Shirley Caesar? Yeah, R-E-S-P-C-T lady was there. Find out what it means to me, yeah. They were all in the backyard. And they were singing songs that they had written. And Andre said when they walked to the back porch, they looked through the screen and they were so intimidated, they just, no way could they have walked in the backyard. They just thought, these are greats, legends, and we're just a bunch of kids and we want to aspire to be musicians someday. And so they wrestled with the fact and they never did go in the backyard. And Andre tells a story, he's looking through this screened porch window. And he's hearing him sing back there. He's hearing him sing praises to God. And he said, "God, why don't you ever give me a song?" He said it wasn't 5 minutes that he's watching the guy do the barbecue. And there's a rack of ribs on the grill cooking. And the guy took a bucket of barbecue sauce and poured them on the ribs. Just poured the barbecue sauce on the ribs. And he said at that very moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he went into the living room where there was a piano. And he pounded out, dum, 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 dum. And he went back in and he got his sister and he said, "I think God just gave me a song." She goes, "How? I was watching that barbecue sauce be poured on the ribs." And that song has become one of the most notable songs in all of Christendom, all over the world, that simply says, "The blood that Jesus shed for me." Remember it? Yeah. "Way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power." Now watch this. He watched the barbecue sauce go all over the ribs because it reaches. Come on. And it reaches to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. So Andre and his sister started singing at the piano in the living room, and all of a sudden the sound went into the backyard, and they were overtaken, not by the smell of barbecue, but by the anointed impartation of revelation. And they all came into the living room and began to weep and sing the song that talks about the blood of Jesus will cleanse every sin. He'll reach every life, no matter how far. And I tell you that story for two reasons. One is because some of you sit here and think that you're just too natural. You're not spiritual enough. You don't see these euphoric things, and God never talks to you. Let me tell you something. If God can talk to a man that's 16 years old with barbecue sauce on the back of a long rack of ribs and birth that kind of a song and talk about how it reaches, God will speak to you, and he'll speak to me right where we are at the point of our need. Don't you ever think that God is not interested in your life. He cares for you. And number two, no matter how far you think you've gone from God, you cannot go far enough where the blood won't reach you. And so I make an appeal to you today, ma'am, sir. Out of the urgency of my heart, every Sunday when I'm driving, I say, God, is this my last week? Will you give me another opportunity, Father? Don't let me blow it. Let me tell the message clear. May I reach one more soul for Christ? And we're here. Hallelujah. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about next week, but we're here. And he reaches to the lowest valley, oh, the blood. Yeah, come on, give me strength. From day to day, it will never lose its power. Now, I just want you to know today, God's blood will cover you. And if you want heaven and not hell, you want God and not the devil, you want eternal life and not eternal wrath, and you're ready to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, on the count of three, be bold for God. Acknowledge your need by an upraised hand, and don't you hesitate 1 minute, because the devil's a liar. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold your hand up high enough that I could pray for you. You say, I need God, I want God, and I want him right now. If you held your hand up, do me something. Please stand up. Do me a favor and stand up if you held it up. And believe God that he's going to do a miracle in your life. Come on, sir. If you put your hand up, stand up. Come on. There are others as well. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Now, altar ministers are coming. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. Because God's not done with you yet. He wants to pour the barbecue sauce on your ribs. All right? Altar ministers, are you coming? Yeah. All right. Come on, guys. Come on up here, man. Young lady, young man. Come on up here. Come on, sisters. Come on up here. Come on up here. You don't have to be afraid. Come on up here. 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 Now, one last thing, and I got to go. You got to go. Whatever we're going to do, we got to do. Well, listen, maybe your circuit breaker has been flipped. Maybe you've been disconnected, and you say, my God, I need to get reconnected to God. I have been disconnected. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm believing God's going to do a miraculous thing in my life today. If that's you, we're going to stand in a second. Don't you wave. Did you come for prayer? Because we're going to believe God for your total, complete restoration. On three, everybody stand. One, two, three. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Come on, if you need prayer, come out from where you're standing. Get reconnected to God. Believe that God's going to do a miraculous thing in your life. Come on. Come on, give Jesus a big hand, church. Come on. Give Jesus a big hand. Come on. Come on, give Jesus a big shout. Yeah. Come on, give Jesus a big shout. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, Jesus. All right, all right, all right, all right. Now we're going to be dismissed in a second. I just want to remind you, all the teens, summer, wild, kingdom, 11 o'clock Friday. Pastor Adam will give you more information. Get your lunch from him. Not Pastor Leon, but Pastor Adam. I want to remind you about the baptism service at Huntington Beach and Bay Village next Sunday night at 6 p.m. We're going to baptize like crazy. I mean, don't come in my line because I have a tendency of holding you down for a minute or two. So you might want to go to somebody else's line just in case. No, I'm just kidding. That'll be a good time. Also, at the end of September, on the 25th, we're going to start an educational night on Wednesday night. Tina and I are going to team teach in here. We're going to have Financial Peace University, which costs $100 for registration for all the materials of Dave Ramsey. Get your house in order financially. Divorce recovery. You know somebody that's gone through a divorce and still haven't recovered. God wants you whole. And we're going to be ministering to you for the 10-week period. Grief recovery. Maybe you've lost a loved one and man, your heart's still broken and you're trying to get through it. We're going to help you with that. So that's grief recovery, divorce recovery, financial peace or money recovery. And then T and I are going to minister as well for 10 straight weeks. Please plan on getting it on your schedule and be a part of it on Wednesday night. All right? Amen. Lift your hand up to the Lord. Father, I thank you that you have made your face to shine upon us. You have given us, oh God, your glory. Lord Jesus, you have met every need that we have. And for this, we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Go in faith. Love right. Everybody, live right. Pray hard. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, if you need prayer, come to the altar. God bless you.